You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
It is time for episode 415 of Geekiest Show Ever. And once again, we don't know what the heck we're going to talk about.
But I'm sure we'll figure it out somehow.
An hour from now, we'll be finishing up.
We can talk about what we'd like to talk about in over the next coming episode or so. Things that I'm interested in, at least.
Okay.
I am really excited about something I saw in the tech news recently that had to do with, I'll just share the link here for Mac Rumors. Back on the 5th, reported that iOS 17.4 lets budget apps read real-time Apple Card transaction info. And pre-recording, I showed Elisa, for the listeners here, I showed her my insane spreadsheet for my tax
preparation. Oh, you're not, and she's not exaggerating, listeners. She's not exaggerating.
It's a little bit of my OCD, my ADD. It's all the D's. Yeah, because I track everything. I'm a small business owner, but I also like to know where the money comes and goes. And this year especially, I was really stressed over it because we're getting ready to buy a new car because I'm still driving around a car with an engine light on. I think I was last time, too.
You were?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a catalytic converter, so it's going to give up on me at any point in time, but I'm trying. We have the car picked out. We want to get a Kia Sportage. I know that's not going to make Tom too happy. I know that he's had some issues, or I think his girlfriend had some issues with that, but I'm hopefully, knock on wood, hopefully that crap is dying down. We'll see, but it's what we can afford, you know? We just can't afford anything else, and we need an SUV. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about having a new car. I'm starting to think more and more as I drive this car. I mean, I still love my car, don't get me wrong. It's 20 years old. I'm very sentimentally attached to it. But I just keep thinking, well, if I had a new car, I could do this. And if I had a new car, I even started picking out music for it. remember we were talking about how we could make shared playlists, and we still haven't done that yet. I said to Nate, I was like, oh, we can make a shared playlist. And then that's what we'll play on Apple CarPlay. So I started picking out songs I'm going to play on the new car. So it's exciting. Stressful. Very stressful.
I wish I had CarPlay, but it's not worth selling my car just to get CarPlay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's other things you like about it.
Well, I saw something on a third-party unit I saw on Amazon. It was about 50 bucks, mm-hmm. and I watched a little video of someone using it. I thought, whoa, this is a possibility. But just the way my dashboard is laid out, it would get in the way of my vision. So, it's not that important.
Yeah, it has to really fit. And that's the other thing that actually, now that you brought that up, it reminds me. So I said, we're looking at the it's a hybrid version of the Sportage, the Kia Sportage, and we're still trying to decide on trim, but in either of the trims, there's no, I think once you get to the middle trim up, there's no wireless Apple CarPlay. And a lot of people are like taken aback by that. I was in the beginning when I started researching this last year. Now I'm kind of used to the idea, but it has something to do, and this is something I want to learn more about, but it has something to do with the on-screen navigation controls, that's the reason why you can't use wireless Apple CarPlay or Android CarPlay for that matter. Because of the navigations, which kind of ticks me off because I don't plan on really using the onboard navigation system. I'm very attached to maps. Isn't that weird? Like, I would say probably like a year or two ago, I was very anti-Apple Maps. Remember that?
I still don't like Apple Maps. I use Google exclusively. And I don't use the built-in GPS because more often than not, when I check on Google, and it will say, okay, to get to point A to point B, do this, this, and this. And then I'll say, let me put it into my car. And it will say, do that, that, and that.
Yeah, something different. Yeah.
And I look at it and go, no, you're taking me all the way around. Yeah. Google saying, here, point A, point B, boom. Uh-huh.
And so the car nav isn't as good as Google, right?
Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned this once before. We were driving out to Cleveland. And basically, it's if you know I-90, it goes across the country. And it was basically I-90 door-to-door from our house to the hotel in Cleveland, I mean, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, maybe half an hour, probably not even that long. It might have been more like 15 minutes before we got into Cleveland. All of a sudden, it took us and it dipped us around. And then what ended up happening is instead of coming out in Cleveland, where we got off the highway and they can make a left and go down the street and then the hotel, we came in on the opposite end of the street through the Broadway district of Cleveland, and then went up the street and the hotel was on the left. And there was nothing going on I-90 that made us take that U-turn, you know,
that detour.
And then when we went home, we just went straight I-90 and there was nothing. There was no construction. There was because we looked it up. There was no accident.
Yeah, like why did it reroute you?
And I'm looking at it going, why did you do this?
Huh.
And that was doing it through the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And so since we hadn't been there, we said, okay, we better just do what it says. And so we took the route.
Yeah.
And that added about 20 minutes to our trip.
I wish I understood all of that stuff better. I'll give you another example. So I have come to appreciate Apple Maps. I can't even put my finger on it anymore because now I've been using it for so long that I just remember starting to use it and go, oh, well, Google Maps doesn't have that feature. Oh, well, Google Maps doesn't have that feature. Thinking it was better. And maybe it's just because of the way that my city is built. It's very much a grid structure. So it is very mapped out. You know, it's very traveled. But I mean, now that you say it, I don't know if I would use Apple Maps for a cross country trip. I guess what we would probably do is, well, if we get a new car and we decide to go cross country, we'll probably like use all three and just for like a, I don't know, like from one city to the next and see how well they do, like compare, like I'll have on Nate's phone, I'll have him run Apple Maps, and on my phone, I'll run Google Maps, and then we'll use the car nav system and see what it does. And see
well, the one thing I do not like about Google Maps on the phone is that if you're using Google Maps on your computer and I want to get to your house, okay, I decide I'm going to do a cross-country trip and I'm going to drive to you. Well, there's different ways. I can go like the northern route and then come down, or I could drive south and then cut across. And Google will give me the most efficient route. But then it will also show in gray optional routes. Well, you could do it this way. It might take an hour longer, but you can go this way. Or if you go this way, you won't have to pay any tolls. And I can just take my mouse and click on it, and it will change the route. Won't do that on Google on the phone. It just says, this is how you get there. Boom.
I could have sworn that you used to be able to do that.
And if you
used to be able to drag a dot on the screen?
On the Mac I can, but I can't on the phone, because where were we? Oh, we went somewhere the other day that was new to us. And I said, I wish I could move this and say, well, instead of at this point,
like
instead of making
stop
a left,
the store,
instead of making a left, I want to be able to make a right. What would happen if I did that? And it doesn't give you that option. Does Apple do that?
I'm looking at it right now and I'm trying to see if I can drag the line. Like I just looked up a route to my husband's school and all I can do really is I can drop a pin or I can add a stop. Like I've said, okay, I want to go have lunch with him and I know I need to go from point A to point B, but I want to stop at, you know, at In-N-Out to pick up the lunch. I can add a stop after I've created the route.
But if you knew that to get to his
like there's
work,
construction, yeah, you and I would could, go around
you, there's
it.
Construction, or if you said, well, there's two different ways. I can do city, or I can jump on the highway. And if it tells you to go through the city, but you want to drag it and say, no, I want to take the highway today.
Yeah, you can't drag the route that's
the one thing I don't like, which if you don't know where you're going, you don't know to do that.
But I could assume you could do that in Google Maps on iPhone. Or maybe, I mean, it's quite possible that it was just, I know you can do it on the Mac.
Yes.
But in the Google apps.
Because I do it all the time. And the other thing Google that Maps I really app. Liked on the Mac, too, is if you're going somewhere and you've never been there before, you can see pictures a lot of the times when it says, make a left onto Route 3. Now turn left onto Main Street. You can see what it looks like. Give yourself a little idea of what to expect.
So you want the feature, you want to be able to drag the route and reroute yourself by adding, you know, taking this point and moving it up here around that construction.
Yeah, either that or give me some options. Because as you know, there's more than one way to get from, most of the time, there's more than one way to get from A to B. And I wanted to be able to say, okay, here's the most efficient one. But here's two other options you can take. Because you know how on the Mac it'll say, you can get there via Main Street, or you can get there via Route 2, or you can get there via, you know, the thruway.
This is interesting.
And you can pick which one. And it will say 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 45 minutes, or this mm-hmm. one has tolls, this one doesn't have tolls.
This is something that I just noticed now. I haven't been in Google Maps for so long, but on the iPhone, there's a little leaf icon. So, you know, one route takes 16 minutes and one route takes 23 minutes. And that's interesting. The route, so for me to go from my house to my husband's school, if I went to have lunch with him, it's 16 minutes one way and 23 minutes a different way. The 16-minute route is the fastest route, obviously. But if I took this is what I understand. If I took the 23-minute route, it's slower, but it says it saves 4% gas. That's what the little leaf means. Isn't that interesting?
Now, I have to say,
save 4% gas by driving 7 more minutes. Fuel-efficient routes usually have fewer hills, less traffic, and constant speeds. Oh, and then it says in blue, it says change engine type, and you can choose between gas, diesel, electric, or hybrid. Now, I'm going to choose hybrid because that's the car that we're going to be getting. Let's see what it does to it. It still says that 16 minutes is the fastest route, but now, okay, so yeah, it still has the leaf there. So it doesn't matter if it's gas versus hybrid. Now, I wonder what would happen if I did electric.
There must have been an update. Or something.
Are you seeing that or no?
This is making a liar out of me.
Whoa, this says 25% fuel. If I still take that same route, but now I've changed the engine type to hybrid instead of it being 4%, I think it was. Now it says save 25% fuel by driving 7 more minutes. Same thing, fuel efficient routes usually have fewer hills, less traffic, and constant speeds. Yeah. That's interesting. So even though it's going to take me longer to get there, I can save. So do I want to save time or do I want to save fuel and money?
Yes. Now this one, now it's showing the three different routes and I can tap, mm-hmm. which was my complaint that I couldn't do that before.
Oh, you couldn't tap. See, I thought you were talking about, I knew I could tap and change the route. I thought you were talking about being able to tap it and drag it so that you could drag it around something.
Because
Mac, you can actually put a little white dot and drag it.
Oh, see now, okay, make up my mind here. See, now it's not.
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Let me get out of this.
I want to see what does Apple Maps do.
Route to 4101 East.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Let's see if I mute it.
Okay, directions. Okay.
I don't see that.
Okay, so there's three different ways I could have gone to the place I went to the other day. One says 50 minutes with no tolls. Mm-hmm. One says 47 minutes with no tolls. But one shows almost an hour. And it would cost $3.24 if I took tolls. Mm-hmm. But that one is also saying, like you said, save 7% on gas
mm-hmm.
with the little leaf. Mm-hmm. Save 7% gas by driving 3 more minutes.
I do wish that, I don't know how, you know, honestly, though, I mean, I don't know how much I would use that feature. Although when we get a new car, it is going to be forefront in my mind because we will be driving alternative fuel, which is, you know, hybrid. Because we are going to be thinking about how much money we're saving on fuel. And I'm really kind of surprised that Apple doesn't have that feature in Apple Maps. Because that is pretty handy in Google. It just seems like Google gets there first when it comes to directions. So I might have to switch back for a little bit. I also noticed, I was thinking of another example, when I took the highway to go to a client the other day, there's a lot of construction because they're building an overpass. And I noticed that Apple Maps, and to be fair, a couple years ago, Google Maps had the same problem where it kind of glitches and it tells you you're supposed to get off on this exit that doesn't exist right now because they've had it. The whole thing is rerouted. Like they've chopped off a whole segment of the road because they're building an overpass. So the directions that they're giving you don't exist. You know what I mean? And so sometimes mm-hmm. it'll say like, get off at the exit. Like, I can't, there is no exit. So you have to wait for it to reroute, but it thinks that you got off in the exit because it's a frontage road. I don't know if you have frontage roads out there.
Yeah, we do.
But we have frontage roads here, and that kind of screws it up. So it thinks that you're still on the highway, but you actually got off on the frontage road, but because it runs parallel, it hasn't detected the distance between those two yet. So I think that's interesting. Yeah, we'll have to compare that and see. But that's a neat feature. I didn't notice that before now. I might have to go back and start looking at that in the future. Well, that's maps and directions wishes, but when we started talking about transactions and things, I don't remember how we got down that rabbit hole about maps.
Oh, who knows?
Did you? Well, I will say, so this is something I am going to be researching, though, because it's something that I want. Like I said, I showed you my spreadsheets. The way that my life exists now as a small business owner, I do track all of my expenses. I track everything for the whole family because I want to be able to make a budget because we're getting ready to buy a new car. And we really want to be able to figure out just how much car we can afford. Like, we're you know, we can probably afford the middle trim, but can we afford the upper trim? Like, maybe, maybe not. It's a little tight. So I really want to look through and comb through our finances and figure out. And then I have to also be able to anticipate what could happen in the future. And that's really, really difficult when you're kind of a small business freelancer. You don't know. In my case, like, one of my clients could pass away and that could really change things for me substantially. So yeah, it's hard. It's hard trying to figure this stuff out. So I try to do the best I can with the numbers that I do have. And just because, you know, I really just like nerding out about this kind of stuff. So I go and I go to all my credit cards. Not that I have that many. I use Discover and Apple Card. Now, last year we were using our bank's card. But then as you and I have been talking about, there's been better perks using the Apple Card and then the Apple Savings account. So right. We've been using that for more things. But remember, I've been bellyaching about this for a while. Like, why isn't the future here yet? Why can't you in 2024 open up the Apple Card and go into the transactions and add a memo? Like, why can't you create a report, but they make it really difficult. So for each one of these, so whether it's my business checking or our personal checking or the Discover card that I use to get the 5% cash back during the holidays, that's when I do a lot of my, as we've talked about before, that's when I do a lot of my business purchases. I save up and then I wait for the sales. And last year, the sales weren't that great as far as Black Friday was concerned, but they were sales nonetheless. And so I waited until that time to make my purchases. So I'll have like a chunk of, you know, business expense type related purchases during that time of the year. So I download those transactions. And then there's the Apple card, which you can. But oh my gosh, it's like you can't even do it. I don't even think you can do it on the Mac. Isn't that strange? I had to go in through my iPhone, and I think we've talked about this before, so it bears repeating. But you go into your wallet app, and then you open up your Apple card, and then you can load the transactions. But if you look in the upper right-hand corner, you have to go to the card balance. No, not card balance. It's under, is it payment due? You have to tap on something. What is it
you're looking for?
Looking for the place where you export the, you can download the statements. You have to tap on something else before you get there.
It's under the card balance.
Is it balance? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. So those are the statements, but then do you have to tap on the statement?
Yep, download PDF or export transactions.
Right, so I remember doing this and I had this like whole like rhythm going because I needed to download a whole bunch of them because I didn't keep up with it throughout the year. That's the problem. That's the problem that needs to be solved is I don't keep up through it throughout the year because I just got so much going on. I need to develop a workflow. I want an app that could import this stuff for me so that I don't have to do this, which is I have to go and like, let's just pretend I didn't do it for the whole year because I actually did do it for like maybe about half the year. But let's pretend I just needed to do the whole year. I have to tap, 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 tap. I have to go into the statement for each one. I have to tap it down, or I should say I downloaded the PDF statements, but then also export the transactions and then save it as a CSV and then tell it to go to my downloads folder, which is also synchronized to my Mac. I mean, it's just...
What about a shortcut? Would a shortcut work?
Yeah, if I had the brain cells in order to make one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there again, like I shouldn't have to do that. It's 2024. I should be able to just import them into an app. So that's why. So because of all that those extra steps and all those taps that I have to do, I know first world problem, but still it is a problem nonetheless. I got excited when I saw this Mac Rumors article that said that, I think I already said the headline, that it's going to let budget apps read real-time Apple Card transaction info. Now, in the article, they mentioned that so far, budgeting apps Monarch, YNAB, which is you need a budget, and Copilot have added Apple support. Now, the one that I want to be using is made by Jumpsoft Money. And I went to their website to see if they had any news, and they don't yet. So I will reach out to the developer and find out if they are going to be able to. Because that's the one that I'm kind of going for. I'm also looking at another one called, let me look it up here. Is it Fresh? No, it's something with books in the name.
QuickBooks?
No.
FreshBooks?
FreshBooks is one too. Somebody mentioned that I should try that, but I'm a little leery about that because I kind of think that might have a lot of fees that I don't. GreenBooks. There's one called GreenBooks. And I'll reach out to that developer too. It's between GreenBooks and Money because those are the ones that I like the interfaces the best, the UIs that they have. But Money's been around for a really long time, whereas the other one hasn't been out that long. So I will reach out to the developer and find out what's the deal with that because I would like to be able to use that feature and pull in the Apple Card because it used to be, and this is why I kind of gave up on it, you had to wait for the month to end and then it would be imported automatically. But you had to wait until 30 months of transactions built up. And with me and having ADHD, like, no, I need to do it now. If I don't do it now, it's not going to get done. Mm. And that's why I end up in the position that I'm in at the end of the year come tax time. Because that's just how it is. So I don't know. Have you ever heard of Monarch? I've heard of YNAB. No. I've heard of that.
No, never heard of them. I don't use that kind of software. I never found a need for my particular situation.
Yeah, so there are free trials for all of these. But then, for example, Monarch is $8.33 a month or billed $99.99 yearly. So that's $100 a year. Let's see. YNAB is under pricing. Of course, they all have free trials, and theirs is $99 a year, so it's the same price. Now, you can pay $14.99 a month, or, so it's $8.25 a month if you pay annually, or you can pay $15 for a month if you wanted to try it out. It does give you, though, remember we talked about this last time, it does give you a 34-day trial. That's a pretty significant amount of
time.
That's
enough. I've seen some apps that give you 5 days. Like, how do you know in 5 days if an app is good or not?
Right. Like I said before, that just goes by so quickly for me. And then the last one is Copilot. And let's see. So this will tell me by going to this website live where show me the money. Where it says now available for Mac and iPhone. So there is a Mac and an iPhone. The interface looks pretty good from their website, but right away, like, I'm already like, well, how much does it cost? And where is the pricing? I like it when the pricing is available right up front. I have to go all the way down to the very, 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 very bottom and click pricing. And this one's now, this, so it's $7.92 a year, a month, and then it's $95 billed yearly. So it's like $5 less than the other two. And this is Copilot that I'm talking about. And
wait a minute. Wait. Say that again. How much is the pricing?
Copilot is $95 a year if you pay for it in a yearly way instead of a monthly way.
And how much per month?
$7.92 a month.
There's no savings whatsoever.
Yeah, whereas the other ones you save, but yet it costs less.
It's $7.92 times 12 is $95.04.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they don't give you a price break by doing it annually.
Yeah, so there's no incentive to sign up for a year.
Mm-hmm. There's a big old switch that says pay yearly versus pay monthly. So, okay, you know what? I just clicked it, and there is an incentive. It's kind of a little bit misleading because they don't show it to you side by side. But if you click the switch, then it says it's $13 a month. So if you go through the trial and it's still not enough time, you can pony up $13 and get it for another month or, you know, just pay monthly for as long as you need it. Or if you want to, you can pay.
That's a good savings. $95. That's $156 a year.
Yeah.
Versus $95. So that's a good savings.
Now, Copilot, like I said, they have a Mac and an iOS app. But what about the other ones? So where does it show you? YNAB is, it doesn't really come right out and say it. I guess you log in, so there's probably it's probably online. So I'm going to go to the App Store and see. Just type in YNAB. Pretty sure I've seen it. There's Copilot, stats for YNAB. So I don't even see YNAB as a Mac app. What's up with that? Bar. I see all of the other financial manager apps. There's just
may not be in the they may not want to pay the fee.
That's true. That's been happening lately, isn't it? So, yeah, I don't see it in the Mac App Store for either iOS or Mac. So let's go down to the bottom and see if there's downloads. Because I want to know, like, is it an app? Or because that's the other thing that's going to be important to me is I do want it to be an app. Because what if I'm traveling and I have no internet connection and I go to the gas station? I'm going to want to log it. Or, you know, what if I go to a store and I buy something while I'm traveling and I just don't have a cellular
connection? On top of that, you don't want that kind of information on their servers.
Well, I've learned that, like, there's not really any way of getting around that. You do have to consent for some kind of thing, like I talked about before, like Plaid or I can't remember the other acronym, but there are these aggregator type services, and the companies, like, you know, the developers of the apps or the services, they have to rely on those to aggregate all that information. They pay for it, and then you have to pay for it along with the app. You know what I mean? So they charge you for it. There isn't a free plan with YNAB. College students get it for free, so that's interesting.
So there's no trial?
Well, they offer all college students a 365-day trial, so they can use it for a year.
But for you, I mean, that's not something you just want to jump in and get a subscription without knowing if it works the way you want it to work. Okay, good.
Yeah, YNAB is 34 days. That's a pretty substantial trial, so that's pretty good.
That's good.
But what I'm just not seeing, like, on the website up front as I'm doing this live is, like, well, where is there software? Is there an app I can install? But I don't even see. And the other thing, too, that I want in an app like this is I want it to be shared with the family because I want to teach my kids about it. So YNAB does have a family plan. You can share your YNAB with partners, families, and other close-knit groups or up to 6 people. For the price of a single subscription. So that's interesting.
Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There is versions. I just don't see where you get the app. Where the heck is the app? Where is the app? Okay, pricing is up at the top, so that's good. Okay, here it is. What is YNAB? So it's tucked under the menu that says, it says the app, the method, YNAB is different, 34-day trial, ultimate get started guide. So I guess you click start your free trial and then you can download the app. But I wonder, do you get it for Mac or? So you have to sign in. Yeah, I don't want to do all this stuff now. So I guess it's going to take me to a place where I can download software. So that'll be something that I'll look into. Copilot, I know I can get from the App Store. And that's the other thing too, is I feel a little bit torn about apps that are in the Mac App Store versus outside of the Mac App Store. And I totally get why developers don't want to put their apps in the App Store sometimes because they're upset about the big chunk that Apple takes. But from the standpoint of supporting end users, some people, you know, a large demographic of people, like the people that I work with, it will be so much easier if it's in the App Store, because then they can just download it from there, and then it also keeps it updated for them. Whereas if you have to go to a third-party site and then keep up with it that way, it might be a little bit more difficult. Mm. You might have some drop-off. But again, I don't know what the size of the demographic is that uses these things to where that would be.
Yeah. Also makes it easier for you as the user. If you switch phones, you switch iPads, you can just easily download it from the App Store. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, there's pros and cons.
Now, Monarch, which I had not heard of, like I said, that one's $99 a year or $8.33 a month. It offers unlimited financial accounts, rollover budgeting, investment tracking, which I don't really have a need for yet. This is interesting. Subscription tracking. I know that's a big request for a lot of people. Venmo support, vehicle values. That's interesting. Unlimited collaborators, custom reports, custom categories, transaction rules, Coinbase support, Zillow support, and web and mobile apps. So there is a web app and a mobile app. So I guess it's a web app for the Mac and then an iOS app for the iPhone and iPad. Interesting. Let me go look up Monarch and see what they have in the App Store. So these are the contenders that I'm looking at. When I search for Monarch, I end up getting Copilot and money. doesn't, so there's no Mac app for Monarch.
No Butterfly apps?
Nope. In fact, if I switch over to iPhone and iPad apps, there is Monarch, but it's nothing to do with these finance apps. It's called Buddy, but I don't think that's the same thing. There's a Monarch wallet. What is it about butterflies and money?
Yeah, that's something to pay attention to make sure what you're downloading is really what you want, especially when it comes to your finances.
Or password managers. I can't tell you how many times people call it iPassword. I'm like, no, that's not the same thing. That is not the same thing. Yeah, you got to pay attention to all these details.
I was going
to
say, I don't pay attention sometimes. I admit, I'll be looking for something, maybe a concert or an event at a venue close by, and I'll do a Google search, and I click on the first thing because it'll say, you know, so-and-so is going to be at this venue. And it turns out when I click the link, I'm not clicking the link of the venue. I'm clicking a third-party ticket resale. I'm like, no, that's not what I wanted.
Beware of the first search result.
Yeah.
Beware.
Definitely. It's usually sponsored.
Mm-hmm. Or paid for. It's sponsored, and sometimes the sponsor is a scammer.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wish there was a way to crack down on that, but that's like all over the world. Like, how are you going to do that? That's
speaking
gotcha.
Of which, mm-hmm. I'm gonna own. Well, I didn't really screw this up. We're driving the other day, and I get a text. Now I have Easy Pass. Easy Pass is across the country, so that you don't have to pay for tolls. You pay through the app, and I get a text, and it said something like, "You owe $50 on your Easy Pass. Click here so you don't get hit with any fines." I'm just like, "What? I don't owe anything because my Easy Pass." The way I have it set up is when the balance drops below $10, they automatically bill my credit card $25. So it's just constant. Yeah. I never have to worry about it.
And you know what that habit or that workflow is.
Yeah. So I said, I'm going to click on the link. I just want to see what happens. So I click on the link, and it brings me to I am not a robot. And I say, okay, and I click it. And then it brings me to a page where pick all the, I forget what they call it, but the ones has like 9 pictures and you have to click on the ones that are, have windows in it or have cars in it just to verify that you're not a robot. I got to that point and I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. So then I went and I did a Google search and it is all over the country. It is a scam all over the country. And there were links to local news stations across the country doing segments about it. Mm. And they would say, if you got something from your state Easy Pass, it would look like this. Mm-hmm. But this is what it looks like when they send you the scam. I'm looking at it going, yep, that's what they sent me.
Until the scammers watch that and they go, oh, we better fix that typo or we better straighten up that logo or, because then they just get, what is it, build a better fool. So wait, back up a second. So when you were driving,
my husband was driving. Yeah,
so he was driving. You were the passenger. Of course, you were.
Yeah, and I feel a text coming. I look on my watch. I'm like, what? So I pull out my phone and I looked at it and I was like, this is a scam. But I'm going to click it anyway because I want to see where.
Why would it do it while you were driving? Do you think it was just pure coincidence? Because that seems a little fishy too. Like,
it was just
for.
Yeah, it was, and we weren't on the highway, but it was just coincidence. It was just coincidence. Okay.
Because that would help me if it was like, how do they know that I'm on the way to check in through the Easy Pass?
No, we weren't on the highway. We were driving regular roads. But I'm just like, what?
My oldest the other day cracks me up. They go up to the home pad and we were talking about whether or not to turn on the features of the LG TV. And they were like, no, I turned all this stuff off. I don't want it listening to it. So I'm like, all right, I get it. But I trust all the Apple stuff to listen to me when I give the commands. And you know how it is with me bossing the house around. And so just as a joke, they go up to the HomePod and they're like, I'm really interested in learning about wizards or I don't know, something. Like they just made up something. I knew exactly what they were doing. So now it'll be interesting to see what happens to our search history.
Speaking of which, I've got a listener request here.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, so as you know, I've got the little HomePod Mini in my office right here, which I never use.
You never use.
I never use, I admit. It only plays Apple Music. It's supposed to be able to play Pandora.
Right.
It will not work. Huh. I have rebooted the HomePod.
How's it supposed to work?
I'm supposed to be able to say, all right, listen, I'm going to do it now.
Okay.
Hey, Siri, play Pandora.
To do that, go to the Pandora app and add it to your home.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. So
to do that,
yeah.
Go to the Pandora app and add it to your home. I did. Uh-huh. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I signed out of Pandora. I signed back in. I deleted the app. I re-downloaded it. I signed back in. It will not work.
Hmm.
No matter what I do.
There's other people have the same problem.
So if anyone knows how to get it to work, please let me know. It does not work. Meanwhile, we've been spending a lot of time in the basement because we've been we have puzzle-itis. We've done so many puzzles. It's crazy. Tom's in one place. I'm in another place. We do our puzzles. And I have an old Echo Dot down there. Uh-huh. And I just go, hey, A-Lady, play Pandora. And it plays and it's great. It will not play on my HomePod.
So I just looked it up and someone has one solution, but you're probably not going to like it. The solution was to wipe and remove the old HomePod, remove Pandora as a home app, wipe and remove the new HomePod Mini. You don't have an old one anyway. Add the HomePod Mini again, then add Pandora to the home again, and then set it as the default home app.
I do have it set as
what
the default.
What a huge pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, yikes. Yeah, that's just the thing is like you shouldn't have to be doing all that stuff.
It's supposed to work.
It's supposed to work for you. You're not supposed to work for
it. Yeah, it's supposed to work. I have no problem getting Pandora on any of my Echo devices. It works on my Sonos. Mm-hmm. When I used to have a Google Mini, it worked on Google Mini. Does not work with Apple.
It's because they're competitors. They're like, well,
but it's supposed to.
That's living hell.
It's supposed to work.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't say, like, I have SiriusXM. It doesn't say that SiriusXM works or any other streaming service. But it says, yes, it does work with Pandora. No, it doesn't.
Isn't there something about Apple antitrust in the news? I mean, I love Apple. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want to appear completely biased. But, yeah, I do have to wonder sometimes.
Hmm. I didn't read it. I saw that. And I'm just like, really?
Yeah. The sky is falling. Right. Yeah. But you know darn well it's going to happen. All the stocks are going to tank. And it's like, now'd be the time to buy some.
Yeah. It's down right now, $7.69. But
It'll go back up.
Yeah. I'm not concerned.
It always does. Yeah. So before we wrap up, I want to let you know we did watch Oppenheimer. It was very, very good. I was a little lost on some of the stuff, but my husband, of course, because he's a physics teacher, he's a physicist, so he was delighted by it. He really, I could tell he was really intrigued by it. And the kids really liked it, too. My oldest has learned about the history. My youngest hasn't yet. They're getting ready to start talking about World War II in their history class. So I think it was very interesting that they are learning about that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still working through the old movies that I recorded. Last night I watched, I have one more left. Last night I watched A Man for All Seasons, which was about Sir Thomas More and Henry VIII or something like that. I'm just like, yeah, okay. And then I watch, let's see, what else did I watch? As soon as I watch them, they're like left my brain. Sergeant York and, what the heck is that movie?
But wasn't this, when we talked about it last time, like the goal was you were going to watch these to see, like you hadn't seen them before or you had seen them but a long time ago?
No, I hadn't seen them.
Okay, but you wanted to see what the fuss was.
Yeah, like I heard of all these movies. Funny Girl, I thought that was horrible.
Really?
I thought it was horrible. I thought Barbara Streisand I mean, she's got an amazing voice, but I think her acting was overacting in certain scenes. Didn't care for that. Elmer Gantry, Elmer Gantry wasn't too bad. That was 1960.
So some of them you'd be like, oh, okay, I can see
East
why they
of
were
Eden.
The deal.
I watched East of Eden.
Okay.
That was 1955. That was James Dean. That was another one where I'm like, oh my God, this acting is just terrible.
You missed your calling.
Should
have been a director.
And then I still have left on Golden Pond, which I did watch when it came out back in, I don't know, the 80s, I think it was. And then I have a few more set up that I wanted to record that I let me see.
What's the line in Golden Pond? We used to walk around saying it like, oh, you want to kiss me, you old poop, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even
walking
remember.
Around quoting
I've
that
got
all the time.
Thomas Crown Affair, The Cincinnati Kid. Oh, I guess that's it. I guess those are the only two that
Well, where's your spreadsheet? You should be making a spreadsheet of these.
Some people do. I just...
The Elisa Award. It would get the Elisa instead of the Oscars, the Elisas.
Yeah. And if you listen to my kids, they'll go, she hates everything. Yeah, I pretty much do. Except for concerts. I have to tell you before we wrap up.
Yeah, you love your concerts.
Oh, my God. Well, we're going on a road trip.
Uh-huh.
In September.
Should I get the room ready?
No, we're not going quite that far. We are driving out to Cleveland.
Okay.
We're going to drive out on Thursday because it's a long drive.
Yes.
Friday, we're going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, nice.
Friday night, we're going to see Billy Joel and Rod Stewart.
So you're going to get to see the inductees? You're going to get to see them being inducted into the Hall
of Fame? No. That usually takes place either in Los Angeles or Brooklyn. Just the museum, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Just the museum. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, that Friday night will be Rod Stewart and Billy Joel.
Uh-huh.
And then that's where the Cleveland Browns play football. So it's going to be an outdoor concert. Then Saturday, back to the Hall of Fame. And then Saturday night, I got tickets to ELO.
Oh, nice.
They're going on their final tour. I've never seen them.
Is it all the original band members?
No. Okay. But it's Jeff Lynn.
Okay.
It's called Jeff Lynn's ELO.
I see.
And I love ELO, so.
Nice.
I'm like, yay.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so, and then Sunday we'll come home.
Do you think Billy Joel and Rod Stewart will play together for any numbers? Do you think there'll be any overlap?
Probably not.
No?
Probably
totally
not.
Separate concerts?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's opening for who?
Rod Stewart will open.
Oh, okay.
Because Billy Joel played with Stevie Nicks, which is where I saw them in October in Baltimore this past October. He's also playing with Sting in some dates. Like I know Las Vegas is one of the dates with Sting.
Well, if they're going to come out to Las Vegas, they might come out here.
And he's playing with Rod Stewart. So I'm like, okay, Rod Stewart puts on a good show. So we'll do that. And we have tickets for the summer to see Chicago and Earth, Wind & Fire. They will be separate and together.
How many times have you seen Chicago now?
Oh, my God.
I lost track.
A lot. Less than 10.
But that doesn't mean that I tire of seeing your video footage.
I think it's less than 10, but a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Earth, Wind & Fire, it'll be the fourth time, I believe.
Oh, only the fourth.
Four. I don't remember. Some of them, once I guess past three, I can't remember. Billy Joel, I believe it'll be my 12th time, Tom's 11th.
Really?
Because I saw Billy Joel once without him.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't really happy. Joel, but, that's his favorite.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So.
And will this be the last one, do you think?
For Billy Joel?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Baltimore would have been our last one, but.
Still going to keep going, huh?
We said, hey. My attitude is, like we've talked about before, first of all, these artists could stop touring. Like ELO is going to stop touring. Mm-hmm. So it's either now or never.
Yeah.
They could also die.
Yeah.
And so could we.
Right.
So
life's too short.
Let's
might as well go
do
see
it.
Him. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Let's exactly. do it.
Yes, I have been putting that attitude into practice a lot. I was before you said it, but even more now, so I think about it all the time.
It's like enjoy it.
Life is just too short.
It's too short. I mean, don't go into bankruptcy just to do that thing you want to do.
Right. Like, but then also if you were gonna do it, if you're thinking about it and you can't afford it, do it.
Do it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go into debt to go to Europe.
But don't regret not doing it either.
But if you have the money and the time, take that trip to Europe.
Mm-hmm. Or set boundaries so that you can have the money or the time. That's something that I'm working on.
Or what a lot of people do, they want to buy a new car or a new house or a second home if they want like a beach house, whatever the case may be. You know, you throw your loose change into a jar. And when the jar fills up, you bring it to the bank and you put it in that little account. And all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, there's $10,000 in here. I can take that trip or I've got that great down payment for a car.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case may be, do it.
And on that note, I have to go make some money for my own trips.
Okay. So if people want to get in touch with us, Melissa, and let me know how to get Pandora to work on the damn HomePod, would they do so?
Melissa wants to listen to her Pandora. So yes, please contact us. You can go to our website, geekiestshowever.com. We have a contact tab. You can click that and it'll send us an email. Or if you're lazy and you don't want to go to the website, you can just email us podcast@geekiestshowever.com. You can also get in touch with us on the socials, where we're on the socials.
Yeah, if you want to follow the show on Mastodon, we are at Geekiest Show Ever at techhub.social. I am at SenseiDai at mastodon.social. And Melissa is all over the place at The Mac Mommy, and you can find her links at themacmommy.com. Right?
That's me. That's keeping here. It simple.
So we want to say thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a few weeks, and until then, please stay safe.